Feels good to be back here on Echobox. You listen to Cyangate FM. My name is Wesley, and I'm very, very excited, very happy about the guest we have this month on our radio show. You just heard music by Kudo the Song. He's one of the inspirations that got me and a lot of people into electronic music from the motherland, and he's sitting right here in front of me. Welcome, Kudo.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm sweet.
Welcome back, man.
Thank you for having me back. I couldn't wait for this day. I still have flashbacks from Paradiso.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah.
What are those flashbacks telling you?
Positive energy. You know, I remember it was quite a fundamental time, just after, you know, everybody was coming back from COVID issues and all of that, you know. So it was like a steroid for me. Like, it pumped me back into the game, like emotionally and mentally, you know. So it was one of those shows. It was very special for me, you know. So I think it was a good seed that was planted. Yeah,
I think so too. And yeah, it's interesting you said it. I think it was a very special show for a lot of people in Holland, because it was the first time that African electronic music got such a big stage in a venue like Paradiso, which normally doesn't really program that.
Incredible venue.
Yeah, it really made an impact.
You've
been to Holland way often, also before COVID, and you're coming back now.
Yeah.
What's your vision on it? How do you see, like, in Holland, but in Europe in general, how do you see the scene developing over these past years?
Man, you know, when you say Holland, my earliest memory is obviously like the Trouw.
Trouw, yo, dope.
I remember when I had like my early Innovisions releases, like the Bright Forest, and I just have this flashback of the Bright Forest playing a Trouw. Mm-hmm. It looked like we were playing it in this crazy spaceship, you know, way the club was designed and the way the sound was just so on point. The people here, man, have always just embraced me, you know, in a very loving way, you know. So like musically and also hospitality wise, like the general things, like socially, you know, over the years. So I've always felt like this very calm and warm welcome here over here. So I think Amsterdam for me is one of those special places, and I think it's a very important place for any artist, you know, in the world, you know, to come visit once in a while, you know. And obviously, like the liberal energy of things, you know, and, you know, coming from South Africa, you know, which is kind of different, like culturally, and I think coming to spaces like these, you know, it also like opens you up, you know, into other ideas of life, you know. So I think Amsterdam is one of those places.
What did you envision when you were making music like Super Afro and Bright Forest, which got released on Innovision?
Yeah.
What kind of spaces did you envision coming to Europe to play that at?
First of all, making those tracks was just purely out of love, you know, out of love. I started making music on cell phones, like Motorola V360 or something like that, you know. There used to be like these weird apps, beat making apps or ringtone making apps, you know. So when I look at Fruit Loops 4, the program I was using to make those tracks, you know, the framework of the screen, you know, it's very similar, you know, with the blocks and with the block sequencer. So it was purely out of love, also introducing the new age of technology wizards, you know. So it was something that always stemmed or just showed itself global in my own head, you know, making it in Africa. And I've just always tried to... I grew up watching a lot of movies. I grew up watching... or playing a lot of video games.
What were your favorite movies?
A lot. Like Mortal Kombat was my favorite video game.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that.
You know, so I mean, I think if you pay attention to my music, you can hear like quite a number of those elements, you know.
Some Gronks, the Rambo video.
Yeah, like Rambo, you know. So it's like, you know, now speaking about those records, which is like more than 10 years later, it's like me, I'm trying to go back to that kid again, you know, but obviously a little bit more experienced and more advanced, you know, in terms of other elements of life, you know, because music was sort of like my own bubble, you know. I feel like I've always been different socially. I was never really the friends kind of guy or the social magnet, you know. I've always found something that's gonna lock me in that corner and just focus on it, and music was just one of those things, you know. So movies like action movies, bro, like Bloodsport, you know, Van Damme, Jackie Chan movies, Bodyguard from Beijing, you know, like
Bruce Lee
movies, yeah. You know, so I watched like a lot of like warrior elemented materials, if you want to put it that way. Yeah,
and that's the Zulu spirit that also breeds in the music.
Yeah. I think it's something that's just you can never run away from. Like I grew up in a village called Umlalazi, you know, which is a part of a small town called Eshowe, you know. So if you look at the post-Zulu colonial history, you know, it is centered around those areas, you know, like the northern region of KwaZulu-Natal, which is the eastern part of the country, you know. So
that's also near Durban, right?
Near Durban, yeah. It's not far from Durban. It's like 2 hours, you know, 2 hours from Durban, an hour if you're driving like a maniac, you know. So... so it's that energy will always be represented. It doesn't matter where in the world I go, you know. I always connect with people with similar kind of backgrounds, you know, from village to city, from village to city, you know, that kind of vibe. So so it's like bridging worlds. Worlds is what I've always had in my heart. I remember I used to stay in Durban by the ocean, and when I was making these records, and sometimes I'll step out for air and just look at just an aeroplane flying above the city, and I'm like, one day I'm gonna fly out of the city.
You know? So, and look at you now, you're flying.
I ended up just manifesting that reality and dreams, you know, thanks to God Namatongo, you know. So it's something that is very special to me, that question. I could answer it in so many ways, you know.
Well, feel free. We got 1.5 hour to dive in deep. But I wonder, because your name Kulo the Songs literally means like the bringer of songs, right? Kuleto.
Yeah, Kuloletu. Kuloletu. Yeah, it means our song.
Our song.
Yeah. So Kulo is song. NgesiZulu. IsiZulu is my native tongue. And then, the story is, as my mother tells it, I will try to recite it as best as I can, is what happened was, they have been waiting for me for a while as a family. I'm not sure if I took longer or what was the story, or maybe it was just the anticipation. And then my news was sort of like, it was so frequent and in terms of excitement, people were like, hey, lifiani leliku, you know, like talking about this child became like a rhythm, like a song type of thing, you know. So when I was born, and then my grandfather took me and he placed me on top of his organ, and when he was playing his church hymns, you know. So that's the story.
He played in church.
Yeah, my grandfather was a big keyboard player, you know, in our church back home.
Christian?
Yes, Christian, Anglican, but Zulu Anglican, if you want to put it that way, you know. So, that's the story. You know, I felt like that was my first initiation in music, you know, because I come from a family that really loves music. My earliest memory of my mother getting me ready for school, you know, herself getting herself ready for her work day. She would play like music, like soulful sounds and gospel and all of that, you know. So my earliest memories of home being in the village, you know, where not only like village sounds, but also like international gospel sounds, you know, international movie sounds, you know, through television and radio, you know. So all these elements that we are using here today, I have earliest memory of them back in the village, because my grandfather as well was also very much involved in doing like these cassette tape documentaries.
Cassette tape documentaries?
For people in... Like for ceremonies, you know, like weddings, you know,
like a mixtape for a wedding.
Parties. Cassette, like VHS. Mm-hmm. He would come and record it for you, your wedding, or your traditional ceremony,
yeah,
or whatever, and then he will put it in program, like titles and all that. I don't even know what software he was using back then, like 1994, like 1995.
Old Windows PC.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, like all this equipment and stuff, you know. It's been around, you know, that, as I said, like, I always think about, you know, how the narrative is, you know, if you come from a village, you probably were exposed,
mm-hmm,
you know, to the new technology, probably in the city. But for me, it was in reverse. Like, my grandfather was very much innovative. You know, he brought this stuff, yeah, you know, to the small town, you know, to the village, you know. Nice. So you find that energy started from there, you know, like being inspired to be involved in these things, whatever they are, these technical things, a lot of wires.
And then also being a gamer, so programming is also something.
Yeah. You know, I remember we had been playing the crap out of our video game, you know, me and my cousins, and the adapter just blew.
Really?
Yeah, boom. You know, like it was at night. I think we were playing too much Contra or Super Mario. I don't know what it was, but uh-huh, there was just so much. And then the next day, you know, he saw that we were very sad about that, and he bought us a new video game the next day.
Oh,
you know, you know, so he knew that we loved the stuff.
And a lot of parents will kind of discourage their kids from video games, but it feels like they kind of encourage you to go dive in. And
yeah, in a weird way. Maybe that was one thing that kept us, you know, from maybe being involved, you know, in other things on the streets. And, you know, because, I mean, there's a whole other world outside the house as well, you know, in those areas, you know. So you might find that if you keep occupied on television or radio or video games, you know, it could be a positive, you know, it could be a positive, because the same energy you could be GTAing on the streets, you know, like in real life, you know,
exactly.
and getting involved with all sorts of things that are happening, you know, outside. So I think it's a bit of a blessing. And I think we also have like a long life ahead to experience other things and experiment with other things, you know, with probably a more mature mind. You know, things like cigarettes and alcohol, I started experiencing those much later, you know. So,
later.
Yeah. So, I mean, being a child, you know, you are more video games and bicycles and all of that. So I'm glad that I didn't experience these things much earlier, you know, at those times.
Cause when you mature, you can know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's maybe you can look at these things, you know, in one way or the other, yin and yang, whatever.
Yeah, light and dark.
Yeah, light and darkness, just in different parts of our lives, yeah.
But it's interesting because you were very young when you kind of got your break and got to know Kudo the Song, right?
Yes, like yes.
End of your teenage years.
Yes, I was a rebel. I was a rebel in terms of like the society I come from, you know, how the progression of life usually is. You know, you go to school, you go to university, you get a job.
Yeah.
You know, me at high school, you know, I was already bunking out, you know, going to nightclubs and while doing quite well in school, you know, like I was quite the A student, you know, in my classes. But you find it on weekends in boarding school, you know, the urge to go out with the older guys. I used to befriend a lot of older people than I was, you know, like the seniors.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the music taste that I had as well.
What were you listening to back then?
Yeah, like house, deep house, you know, tribal house, you know, like international releases, international compilations, you know, they'll be imported into the country.
Yeah.
By obviously the big labels and the DJs at the time. So you find that I was just a rebel in many ways, you know. The A students would be like, why are you sacrificing your genius, you know, to be a DJ, you know? And you know what I mean? Like things like that. And then it's like the DJ will be like, oh, ain't you a little too young to enter this world, this dark world, you know? So I think I was...
I mean, it was.
I mean, I used to go to clubs underage, you know, I'd carry my friend DJ Kabila's records, you know?
Yeah.
you go into these very dark alleys. And I mean, I also tell people a very crazy story about myself that I never had, you know, like how people say they had their first kiss, you know, under a tree somewhere in a park or in school. You know, my first kiss was with a stranger in the midst of darkness in the club. You know, I don't even remember that person. You know, I don't even know who they were, but I know there was a lot of loud music, there was a lot of rhythm, there was a lot of alcohol involved.
It was only kissing, or what's more?
Yeah, you know what I mean. So, I look at those stories. You know, as much as I've tried to sort of like only acknowledge, you know, the good boy story,
yeah.
You know, of myself.
I feel you.
And but I realized that, you know, there was a lot of rebellious activity for me to do what I actually love to do.
I can kind of relate, because I was very young too, and some of the DJs that took me under the wing, like, let me say, the way that they were experiencing their lifestyles, woman, sex, that, and I saw that kind of the influence on what I think was normal.
Sure.
It
became normal.
And you kind of went to adolescence on a dance floor, you?
Yeah, of course.
How
of
was
course.
That?
For me, bro, it was very much tied into the love of music. Because even the records, you know, sure, there was a lot of social activity happening. You know, so you know, like how a kid pays attention in the classroom because you want to pass and do well and impress your parents.
Yeah.
You know, so whoever was a mentor to me at that time, musically, you know, I was like, okay, cool, you're going to expose me to this world, but I'm going to learn, you know, the sonic side of it. I'm going to listen to these records. And I was so inspired, you know, to go back to my Fruity Loops and be like, man, I want to make something that sounds as heavy and fat. And, you know, DJ Kabila will leave me with his turntables, you know, at his apartment. Fortunately, I stayed a floor above him. And, you know, I would listen to the fatness of these records. I'm like, wow, how did they get them to be so fat? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I didn't even take the program seriously. Fruity Loops, the one that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think you could make professional music, you know, on it. But then I realized, started messing around with compressors and everything.
Yeah.
Started giving it to DJs, you know, and then they started playing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for me, that was me going through trials, exams, you know, you pass, you fail, whatever, you know. So I approach the same student mentality, you know, in the club world, you know, when it comes to like the Sonics and all of that. So the lifestyle thing of that world, it dawned on me much later when I was more traveled and all of that, you know. So when I was 16, 17, 18, I mean, I started leaving the country, and I was like, 17 to 18 maybe, to the Red Bull Music Academy in Barcelona. I was selected to be a part of that.
You were the youngest to ever participate, right?
I think so. I think so at the time. Yeah, it was me and a brother of mine, Thibaut Taz, from Cape Town. It was such an incredible experience, because all the other kids were preparing to go for varsity. You know, so I didn't enter that leg of things. You know, I decided to just choose the academy and kind of focus on my DJ career.
Yeah.
And funny enough, things really started happening, you know, during that time.
Is it funny, or is it just the power of you put your intention and you focus on it?
I think it was more intention and focus and resilience, you know, as I said, a bit of cheek, you know, just to be paying a blind eye, you know, to the rest of the world and society, you know. So, and I believe that, you know, some of us are not created, you know, for that normal normalcy frequency, you know. So I believe that as scary as it was, I mean, there was a lot of like anxiety, there was a lot of mixed emotions around it, because how people felt at home about it, and your general social circle, you know, the anxieties, the worries, are you going to be able to handle it, you're too young, this and that, you know. So I think it was probably one of the toughest ways as well for me to discover who I really am, you know, and in one way or the other. But the music just kept me on that notion of hope, you know, and light. And I've always just been an optimistic being about it, you know. So, yeah.
I heard you talk about light and a lot. And some people, and it's amazing, like Bright Force is a great example, but many examples people say it's light, but there are also songs like Mid and Judgment Day, which people might say are very dark. How do you balance that?
it's just how the tracks themselves make me feel, You know, it's just how they make me feel, and that's how I give them names as well. So I have a thing for words as well that I just love. I juggle with words, you know. Okay. Maybe I should have been a poet, whatever, a writer.
You never write?
Even I do write.
Do you read?
I do read. Yeah, I do read. Maybe not lately. Lately, it's been more video consumption. You know, I like materials of wisdom and mysticism and yogis, religious content, conspiracy theories. Funny enough,
okay.
You know, I feel like they all talk about these worlds that exist within worlds, within our worlds. Yeah. You know, so
or behind,
you know, behind, yeah. And I feel like some of the music that we make, you know, using the technology that we use, you know, we obviously come from different dimensions.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and I think, you know, like titles like Judgment Day, you know, as you can imagine, that probably comes from my religious influence, you know, of things, you know, because we were heavy church goers, you know, like back home. And I mean, it's funny that you put it in the dark category, you know.
But I have folders in my record books.
Yeah. So you know, this creation is very vast, you know, and you find that. There's just different channels, there's different walks of it, you know, and there's days where you feel like wearing a white shirt, there's days where you feel like wearing a black shirt, sure. You know, so it's a nice set of representation of what lives within you as a human being. Mm-hmm. You know, you got an animalistic side, you got a conscious side, you know, and then you get the subconscious, which does not know anything between right and wrong, and it just takes the experience as it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we communicate a lot with the subconscious.
Yeah, of course, you know, the vibrations, you know, the different music, the different clubs. I notice how I feel after different experiences. You know, if I play a gig in a particular place and I feel a certain way the next day, so you're like, oh, that was the energy there, you know, the people, the crowd.
Yeah.
So, but it took me a while though to get to that level. You know, it took me a long time. For me, it was just like a normal experience. Hey, you're a DJ, just go play and get paid.
Yeah.
You know, so, but now, as of late, I'm very much conscious of that part of things.
I was listening to your discography, and I was in 2016 that the album Washa came out.
Yeah.
And that feels very different to me from other dance albums that I heard.
Like, yeah.
It's a clear narrative, there's storytelling, it looks like you're also very much in touch with something inside of you that you want to tell. Who were you back then?
You know, I think 2016 Washa was when that energy of, okay, young man, you've been traveling the world, you've been doing great, you've been exposed, you've been privileged.
Mm-hmm.
but then that energy of your soul, it's like, it's time for you to get in touch with your roots,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, coming with the colonized mind and the colonized experiences,
mm-hmm.
The energy comes with almost like a very aggressive force,
yeah.
you know, and you can feel it. And it's very personal, you know, you all of a sudden, even the materials you consume, you know, on TV or radio, the internet, you know, you just want to watch things about Zulu history, you know, Zulu spirituality, Zulu cosmology, you know. So you find that, I mean, you've been involved in reading all other things around these subjects when it comes to the West,
mm-hmm.
you know, but when it comes to your roots, you know, you have not been exposed to, you know, because of just how history has played out, you know. So it started getting very curious, you know, around that. You know, it's just something that just naturally bursted in me, you know. So I think we all go through that in different times of our lives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then you learn that there's many parts of you, you know, there's many dimensions of you as a human being as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's simply that little kid in the village that left, you know, that you haven't been nourishing. You know, you've just been nourishing the kid in the city, the kid that's been riding all the planes, you know, to Miami, to LA, to Ibiza, to Australia. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been mainly taking care of that kid, and then you forgot about the kid in the village, you know?
Yeah.
So it could be simply something as that. Like, you don't have to go deep with it and make it a conspiracy, you know? So even like with just normal psychology, you know?
Yeah.
I started seeing psychologists as well. We'll talk about these things, you know? Then I'm like, hey, I feel a certain way about this. I have this kind of dream and that. Mm-hmm. You know, I go into spaces. Nah, I'm comfortable here. I'm not comfortable here. You know, so you just grow. I was just growing up, you know, just feeling different states of consciousness, you know. And it's still a long journey of learning. And I think it's more personal more than anything, you know. So I think what was speaking to me at that time was definitely a huge voice of what I would call uNkulunkulu wokhokho, you know, the God of the ancestors, you know. He comes at us in different ways. She comes at us in different ways, you know, so
we call it Winti in Suriname.
Yeah, you know, the great mystery, Wakandaka, like the Native Americans would call it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it hits us differently, you know, at different times of our lives. So, and I mean, it's a big subject right now, funny enough, in South Africa, you know. It's a lot of these woke conscious kids, a lot of kids having spiritual awakenings, you know, obviously some very much so realizing that they are possessed by spirits they shouldn't be possessed by, and then they're going to have to get healed by that. And through that process, you learn that, oh, before all these institutions, you know, ancestrally we had ways, you know, to heal different energies that we inherit in our daily lives and all of that. And then obviously going through those experiences, you start realizing that, oh, wow, you know, so me as an artist, as a DJ who's overly exposed to crazy energies in different places of the world, you know, we must have had, you know, incredible guidance, you know, and protection, you know, from the Most High in so many different ways because of the spaces we go unconsciously and the things we do in there. I mean, think about the music world, you know, like the stuff we involve ourselves in and the stuff we're exposed to, you know. So you learn the African way of dealing with that as well, you know. So I got to that level. And that's the level I'm still growing in. That's the level where you'll forever be a kid in, you know.
Beginner's mindset.
Yeah, of course. You'll always be a kid in. You'll always be a child of the great ones, you know. So it's something that's very grounding as well. As much as the rebellion spirit is still there, but now you are conscious of this other part of yourself that's gaining strength.
And know? Also being conscious of that is rebellion itself, because it's, you know, it's rebellion against the colonial mindset.
And a lot of things change as well during that process. A lot of things change. A lot of social settings change, you know, a lot of people around you, you know, change. You start to see a lot of different things in them, and they start to see a lot of different things in you. Because now you are in a journey where you are addressing the real issues, you know, of yourself and where you're going, where you've been, you know. And obviously, yeah, hopefully leading to the utmost advanced mode, you know, of it, you know, to really connect your spirit with the real creator. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've gone through an initiation process as well to become a Sangoma.
So a lot of people would describe it that way because that's the most commercial way, you know, of describing it. Yeah. So you know, we have different connections to our ancestors. We have different altars to our ancestors. And you may find that, so we have this saying that our ancestors live through us, you know. So you may find that, you know, bridging different worlds, you know, like the past and today, and especially with the music and the gifts that you were given by them in the Most High, you may find that with the things that you are doing as well, you are evoking, you know, these spirits, you know, without even realizing it, you know. So there's processes that are needed to be done for people like us, you know, to balance that thing out, you know, so that it is healthy for you in the world of today. You know, as I said, these are things that I did not know as a young African, you know, like growing up, you know. So it's just a part of your life that that you go through, and we all go through it differently, mm-hmm. you know. And also it's another part of your life where you discover, you know, more gifts around the gift, you know, that you believe that you had, the music thing. And then you realize that, like, I'll give you an example. If you're a modern doctor, you know, like a GP or a surgeon, like as an young African, you may find that, you know, in your bloodlines, you know, there is like a huge army of healers, you know, of mystiques, you know, in your bloodline. And they are so heavily connected to you, but they will express themselves in a modern way of things, like in a modern occupation, modern title, you know,
music?
You know what I mean, music or being a doctor or whatever, you know. You could be a programmer, you know, putting together certain kind of codes, you know, but you got this old man living in you who used to put together certain herbs, put together certain mystic technologies, you know, to create natural robots, if you want to call it, natural energies, natural spirits, to do certain things, you know. So it's a fascinating world. It's a very fascinating world.
It's only
world.
Becoming more fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fascinating world. And you realize, even like sonics, like putting together sounds, you know, manipulating sounds, you know what I mean? Like from playing the drum with like a normal stick, you know, from a tree, you know, playing a drum which is created by a cow skin and, you know, whatever else. You find that there's a lot of elements in just the drum, and you see people playing a drum. It's been put together by a lot of elements, you know. So, and then you realize, oh, okay, we are messing around with digital versions, you know, of this stuff, like digital recordings and all of that. So, you know, depending on how you lay it out, you know, how you arrange it as well, you know, it's going to end up sounding a certain way. It's going to end up evoking certain things and certain spirits and all of that. So I think we are going through that, you know, and I mean, in different ways, this thing is going to affect us. People are telling us that we are going through different dimension shifts and all of that. So, for me, it was just my version of that, you know, going through that route, you know, and attending to all the different kinds of energies that live within me. And it doesn't stop there as well. It's still progressive after that. You still have to learn about A, B, and C, you know, to lead you to D, E, F, you know?
You were just talking about it also, like how music and sound sonics kind of transport people's minds into different dimensions. And I mean, Sandra had this movie in the 70s, and he's been talking about freeing the human mind kind through synthesizers. That's the thing. James Blake just released his album with a beautiful title, Singing Robots into Heaven. And he was also talking about this, and if you now fast forward to 2023, technology has advanced. We have, of course, hardware synthesizers. You can do a lot on software, and there's a lot of talk now about AI. How you can use that in music, and some people worry that it might take away the humanity, the heart, and the soul of the music. Others think it's a beautiful people to democratize it more and create an opportunity for people who are not musically inclined to still create music. You have been at the forefront of using digital options to create different worlds and connect different worlds. So how do you feel like this AI revolution is going to change things?
Look, man, obviously the conscious me, rather the surface me, like it's just as a normal young man, it's weird. It's very, very weird, very strange. And I think it's also not so weird, you know, when you study the weird stuff of the world, you know, over time. And, you know, when you study mythologies and all these things, you realize that it was expected. It's just another cycle of things. Isangoma, you know, they'll usually tell you things like, I had a vision. So usually you could be sitting and then there will be a movie that will play in front of your eyes. You know, who's playing that movie? Who's broadcasting that to your eyes? I mean, think about Izangoma back in the day. You know what I mean? Like with before the TV and technology. And then now we have TVs, we have plasma energy and all these things. It's the same technology. You know, it comes from the same source. You need to be deep enough, you know, to find the real truth, you know. So you find that, you know, the broadcasting of frequencies and channels and all that, it's nothing new, you know. It's always been there, you know, within the human experience, you know. So dreams and things like that, you dream of things before they happen. You think of, you dream of things of the past, you know. And then when you talk about it in today's sense, you know, you find that, you know, there's always something that, that almost puts you in a sort of position of crossroads, you know, with different dimensions, different parts of time and all of that, you know. So I think we are just gobsmacked right now because it's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know, I can have an own version of myself that's not me, you know, but then you're like, yeah, there's always been different parts of you, you know, different living in different dimensions anyway.
But what if I get AI software and make tune like Kulo the song Rambo?
Yeah.
And it generates something and it blows the fuck up.
I mean obviously, you know, I saw what's his name, was it Ice Cube? Did they make
a Drake song without
Without his consent, and he felt it was demonic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And for me, even that phrase, demonic. You know, so there's something in him that can feel that there is just another type of consciousness about it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like an extension of you without you. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been cloned into another world, or you've been cloned for a new world that's coming. Like that sort of thing, you know. So I think it's just always been there, man. Like copy and paste, control C, control V, you know, like
it's sampling without the sample.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been there, bro. Like even for a painter, for an artist, you have to see things in nature, you have to experience things before you start painting anything. I remember in school, I forgot which class it was, this other gentleman asked the teacher if blind people dream in pictures.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember the answer, what it was, yeah. You know? Yeah. But it's you got to go through certain experiences, you know, somehow, somewhere, you know? And then they're going to obviously exert themselves, you know, in the technology of the time. I mean, some of the things are very unexplainable when you study some of this ancient stuff. And you're just like, how the hell did they move this type of rock, you know, miles on, you know, across oceans?
Yeah.
You know, with what technology? I mean, how? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you realize that it's just like weird stuff have been happening in the world. And I think this is just our generation going through our set of like weird revolutions or whatever.
And
you know?
Awakening.
Awakening, you know. So, and I don't know if you watch Godzilla versus Kong.
No.
You watched that movie?
No.
You know Godzilla, the movie? Yeah, There's another one. Godzilla versus Kong. But anyway, Godzilla versus Kong, it's like the ancient beings fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a company, billionaire company, that's trying to create a robotic version of Godzilla.
Mm.
Then Kong and Godzilla stop fighting each other. Now they're fighting against the machine.
Their own copy.
Yeah, just basically, these things, they show the introduction of the world of machines that's just constantly, you know, reminding us that it's coming, you know, whether we like it or not, you know. So it's just like a new consciousness, which unfortunately will have a bit of our consciousness as well involved in there, you know.
Yeah. In some sense, we are there. I mean,
Of course.
People live their lives on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, man. Being on your phone all the time, being online, you know. I remember I used to be very big on Mixit. I think one of my first girlfriends I met on an app called Mixit. Oh, in South Africa, we had a chat. Yeah. It's like an old version of social media. Okay, if I may put it that way.
Yeah. MySpace.
Yeah. And funny enough, MySpace was very imperative in planting my name, in other parts of the world. I used to upload a lot of music on MySpace. Yeah. I met Bodhisattva on MySpace.
Oh, dope.
You know, yeah. You know. So, and it's mind-boggling that that's almost 20 years ago now.
Different time than how you were using MySpace as opposed to
DJs
are blown up because of a 15-second video.
Yeah.
How do you navigate in that world?
Man, it's I don't know. I really don't know how to answer that, because some of these things have just become so natural now. You mm-hmm. know, like 2 seconds of wisdom. You know, like 10 seconds of wisdom, someone posts a motivational video, someone posts some information that you did not know. You remember that track, Too Much Information, that was very big in the electronics scene?
I'm not sure if I know that one.
It's not technology.
Yeah.
I mean, if you pay attention to the lyrics of that track, it talks about too much information. And I think that's the age we are living in. You know, right now we're just too exposed at so little time, and I don't know. Maybe our minds and bodies are being prepared for that future. You know, of being integrated with machines like that. You know, so
at the same time, there are more young people suffering from mental health problems than ever before, than we know of before.
How can you not suffer from mental health problems, bro? Because now you know you are changing your whole consciousness. Your natural state is basically being converted to a synthetic state.
Yeah.
You know, that is why Ice Cube was like, man, this is demonic. This is crazy, you know?
But is there an ideal symbiosis between man and machine? Because being DJs, I kind of see the DJ equipment as an extension of what I want to do. So
sure.
And there's a symbiosis that can be created. How? What's the utopia? The ideal future that you foresee with the symbiosis between man and machine?
Yeah, look, I think the soul of it, you can never take it away. I don't care how many machines you use. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many spirits or aliens you use to try to study humans. Mm-hmm. You'll never take away the real essence of it. You know, it'll always be there, and it'll always continue to exist within a certain number of people. And the forces that have got those kinds of people thus far in society will continue to reign, you know, a certain part of society as well. You know, it will always exist. You know, I don't think it will fully take over. It will be there. We'll work together with it. You know, certain opportunities will obviously go away, you know, and then the world will seem like it's a machine world. You see, like, now how everything is focused on social media, but that's not everything that's happening in the world. It's like reading a headline. It's like the newspapers, propaganda, and all that stuff. If you focus your mind on all those things, there will be a world in your head. But there's so much other things going on in the world besides what's happening on social media. Right. So it just depends on where you're going to focus your attention to. So now you got to realize that, okay, cool. If I spend too much time on this device, you know, it is probably going to be in a certain degree a distraction, you know, and then you're going to have to make a conscious choice that this is how many hours I spend on my phone, this is how many hours I spend on making music, this is how many hours I spend on eating and just
discipline, you know, life.
Discipline. Yeah, I think discipline is going to be like the Rambo of the future, you know. I don't think money is going to be the greatest thing. I mean, obviously, people that are very much capital conscious, they say that the new kingdom of men is all about money, which is, I understand. But I think for you to be strong in all of that, you know, I think discipline will be the Rambo of the future. And that's what you should be befriending, you know, trying to get to know now, you know, the spirit of discipline within you.
Sometimes it's difficult, though.
Very difficult, bro. Oh, come on. Especially in our field. Yeah, very, very difficult. And I mean, in our field, bro, think about it. You're spending too much energy. You're exchanging too much energy with different people at different times. You're actually giving a lot of yourself. A lot of the times, you know, like being on stage, you know, you're just playing your soul out, you know. I mean, look, it's like just playing your favorite music for your friend.
Yeah.
You know, like just the time spent of exchanging records. You know, after that ordeal, you can tell, you know, when you're sitting alone that, okay, cool, I've just been involved in something. I gave away something. You know, and you can imagine now when you are facing a crowd of 10,000 people and, you know, 5,000 people, 1,000 people in a club, you know, in dark and light spaces, you know. So you go through a lot as an artist. So I think it's you more than a lot of people need that time, you know,
you
more than a lot of other people, you need that time for yourself, you know, just to regain and recharge, you know, remember who you are, you know, and because think about it, if your music goes around the world, you know, your seed has been split in different ways, you know, like in so many different ways, you know,
it's like children.
yeah. So think of yourself as a tree, you know, a lot of people that are using this tree for different selfish reasons and spiritual reasons, you know, there's people that play your music, you know, for different occasions, birthdays, summer celebrating things of the gods and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, but you're playing my music. That's interesting, you know. And some people come to you and they're like, yo, bro, I was about to kill myself and I played your album.
Wow.
And then I felt alive again. Beautiful. You know, like you get people coming to you telling you stories like that.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously you did it just out of talent, you know, with your conscious mind. You didn't realize that, you know, so, but you realize that there's so much more of ourselves that we do not know, yeah. You know, so, yeah. But this world for me has definitely pushed me towards, you know, being curious, you know, about other things, because as I said, you know, you, after some time, you realize that, okay, I like playing at this place. I don't like playing at this place. You know, it starts being an option fantasy like that, because you realize that, you know, a lot of these places, you know, they take different parts of you and you take different parts of them. So you must be real with yourself as to what do you truly value.
What is it that you value nowadays?
What I value is the journey of peace. Yeah, the journey towards peace, because while getting to know yourself, your true self, so which means you have to fight off a lot of ideologies that have been planted in your head, and that's a very aggressive and violent kind of trip, you know. So you find that at the end of the day of doing that, you know, you just value peace, you know, in your own space. Before, it was just a thing of you, oh, you are shy, you're not social or anything. But now it's like, no, I actually need it, you know.
Yeah.
So I value the idea of peace. I value the idea of doing what I love. And I think if I can take care of that part of myself, you know, the idea of love is going to be very expensive as to my relationship with the rest of the people in the world as well. I think I'll just become a better person as well. Yeah,
beautiful to see, man.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so much information in that.
Yeah.
I wonder though, playing the music that you play, and we talked about this different sides of yourself that you give, and different side of, and people are in altered state of consciousness when they perceive your music. Mm. How does that feel to you? Like, for instance, we're in Holland and we are very liberal about drug use, but a lot of people here that use some form of mind altering or stimulating drugs.
Yeah.
Try very well on some of the music you make. Well, maybe that's not totally your intention or not at all. How does that, what does that do to you to hear that or see that happen?
Look, man, I mean, there's obviously a greater science of music and sonics that I do not know. Mm-hmm. We are just a part of it, you know. And I remember like a funny story back home in Durban. So ecstasy was like a big thing. In Durban, in South
Africa.
Especially
within Goma.
Yeah, of course. So this guy was like, there used to be this track by Black Hole. You should go to Track Source, maybe it's still there. Black Hole, 1,000 Seconds.
Okay.
It's called 1,000 Seconds by Black Hole. So I think it's Black, like Black Hole, the phenomenon in space.
Yeah.
So it was like a big track in the clubs, you know, like back home, back in the day. And this dude was like, he was so high in ecstasy once.
The and producer?
The producer is Black Hole. Yeah. Black Hole.
Found it.
I think it was Ero Maniello, and yeah, that tune. That tune drove a lot of kids crazy.
Ready?
Yeah. It was like such a big tune, man. It was really crazy. Even today, if you drop it today.
What about this song was it that drove people so crazy?
So I'm trying to tell you the story of this guy. He used to take ecstasy. So now he was telling us the experience.
Yeah.
That when he got home, like at 7 a.m., like obviously people are sober at home. They were not clubbing. They're actually waking up, getting ready for a new day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still dancing at home, like he's moving his head crazy, and he's like, this track is busy playing on my head, bro, like over and over again, like it's so loud, like he was still in the club.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So drugs, you know, they really exaggerate, you know, like these sonic experiences, you know, to a level that I don't think we understand. And obviously, it also depends on what you on a daily are tied on, you know, in terms of, because I don't think that people that take the same drugs will listen to the same music, you know.
Not true.
So it always speaks to you at the end of the day. But some tunes like that, you know, they have the power of just bridging everyone, you know, together, whether you're a druggie or not. You know, yeah. People that don't listen to drugs, obviously,
can still relate.
Still enjoy the music. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, obviously, you need people, you know, that are more advanced, you know, as to, when it comes to the science of sonics and the science of the mind, you know, like picture versus audio. Mm-hmm. Because it's all mental when you realize it. It's all mental. As I said, sure. This guy, he was at home now, chilling with sober people, but he's still having a club experience,
yeah.
And the soundtrack is that track, you know, dominating his headspace, you mm-hmm. know?
Crazy.
So I think that's one part of, yeah, like drug use and club lifestyles that you need to be conscious of, you know, before, you know, making balanced decisions about it, yeah.
Yeah, makes total sense.
Mm.
Yeah, there are also being a person in life generally, we all have to balance things that we do in life.
Yeah.
You just talking about how you have to have time to get to come to yourself.
Sure.
COVID happened. We were locked in our house for almost two years.
Yeah.
About 2 years. What do you think that has changed in the music scene or in the nightlife scene? What's the difference before and after COVID?
I think it has brought the beast out.
The beast out,
yeah. It has brought the beast out. Look at what's happening with like the amapiano scene.
What's happening?
It's total madness. Mm-hmm. It's total madness, in a good way, in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people think the same after COVID, yeah.
Mm.
You know, when you're fasting, I don't know if you've fasted before, mm-hmm. and then when you get back into like meat eating again, whatever, you know, like you can even tell that there's an animal in you that's so happy to get back to the
yeah.
stuff,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know, so I like when you've been deprived of something that you enjoy so much, and you know, entertainment is a big thing in South Africa, it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I feel like it has brought the beast out, you know, like it's like a spring that's been compressed for a while and now that energy is like,
yeah,
you know, that's what's happening.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People are fearless. People are no longer conscious of barriers and all of that. They're just doing what they want to do mm-hmm. whenever they want to do it. They take whatever drug they want to take whenever they want to take it. They drink whatever alcohol they drink whenever they want to drink it.
We might be locked up again.
Yeah, because we might be locked up again, you know, so I think we are still on the way of trying to gain ourselves a bit of balance again,
yeah,
you know, because we felt like we've been locked up. Yeah, so I think in the process, we'll gain some time to think properly again. You know, I saw it with a lot of parties and festivals. You know, some mm-hmm. things were not organized well because people are just not used to thinking straight anymore.
Sure.
People are very forgetful and, you know, like a little bit of memory loss there and there, yeah, amnesia. You know, you can see these things in people, but I think people are slowly getting back to that rhythm again or balancing in the new wave of things.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it was a true test of what being human means, you know, the human consciousness. And we can tell that there's a lot of weird stuff happening in the world, you know, around then, since then, even now. And but I do believe that, yeah, we are getting ready for a new world or whatever mm-hmm. that is.
Yeah.
And I think it's a blessing and a privilege, you know, to be alive during this time. We also lost a lot of people,
true.
You know, during that time, you know. So, and I don't even think... I actually wonder, have we actually sat down to get over ourselves psychologically around our losses, you know, the people that we've lost, the material things that we've lost, the experiences that we've lost, you know, so now we have to rebuild and regain. And I mean, just losing somebody like a friend or a family member, it takes a toll on you emotionally and mentally. And imagine now a lot of people lost a lot of things at the same time, you know. So a lot of people are not thinking straight. So I think this is the new healing season, you know. And it's something that we should be embracing, you know, with a lot of gratitude, you know. And
we've got a healer sitting in front of us.
Yeah. We're here again.
Yeah.
we're here again, and man, it's yeah, it's like healing within madness, healing through madness. That's what I call this period. You have no choice but to make it work.
Disciplined insanity.
Yeah, discipline and insanity at the same time. You have to embrace all those animals in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curious to see what animal is coming out tonight at Cyan Gate in parallel.
Yeah. Me too. Looking forward, man. As I said, like, it's weird. Every time I fly to Amsterdam, I always look for trial. Like, where's trial? Where's trial?
Mm-hmm. Have you been to the school?
No.
That's kind of the sequel to trial in many
ways. No. It's, I actually haven't been.
Next time you're around, should
Yeah. I should. It's actually one of my earliest memories of this place. And it's definitely one of my favorite places to come at, you know.
I get it. It's a big influence on nightlife in Amsterdam in general. I would love to see something like that happen, and in a more slightly diverse way when it comes to the audience.
Sure.
But, you know, we're working towards that, and it's beautiful to see. And I think you just mentioned Amapiano. Amapiano is, for a lot of people of color, a gateway into discovering electronic music, at least here in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Some of them just go into the flashy lifestyle Amapiano thing, but some of them they also go in and they find music by you, or they learn about Manu, or they go in deep.
They go in deep, to discover. Yeah, true. I look at it as a bridge, as I said. I go back to the guys, to the times of the guys like Abiko Soul, you know, like music like that, Oshulade, you know, guys that inspired my music, you know. I used to listen to those guys a lot while listening to the more universal alien stuff, like Inner Visions and all the crazy, eclectic stuff, you know, at the same time. There's a bit of that element with my piano as well, if you listen to it. But now, obviously, there's a lifestyle element to it. You know, a lot of the bedroom producers, you know, finally getting their break. Mm-hmm. You know, finally getting to leave home a bit. You know, to go connect with other ghettos around the world. You know, so for me, it's that ghetto energy. It's like ghetto gods meeting together.
Yeah, and there's a rawness, you know, that connects.
Like raw ghetto gods just coming together, you know, in different parts of the world, you know, converting that energy of struggle into something they can look forward to, you know, instead of having that energy suppress you and remaining in the township and being enslaved, you know. So now you found a way to get this energy out, you know, to the rest of the world. And now it's like all the kids around the world, all the ghetto gods around the world are waking up, and they're just coming together to create something phenomenal and preparing a place for themselves in the new world, you know?
Yeah, and that could be Amapiano, but it could be something totally different also.
Yeah.
What do you feel is next for, like, Afrotech and Afrohouse? Because Amapiano created something and something's happening. How do you see that?
I feel like we are all on the same boat. Mm-hmm. We are all on the same boat because, you know, the Afro House story is also the bedroom producer story. So, you know, the bedroom producer story just like me. I'm a bedroom producer. You know, so even with my new setup that I'll be creating in the future, it's gonna be more minimal and more bedroom like again. You know, to talk to that kid again.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, as I said, like, this is like a bit of a cycle, you know. Before I made the Bright Forest on like shitty speakers, man. Like computer, like they were called Creative. You know those two little speakers the sub.
They have in offices.
So and that's why it sounds like that. It doesn't sound professional. It sounds
organic.
It sounds organic and molded. You see, you are using the best of what you have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it was then, inefficient though, so they must have mastered it.
Yeah. Using inefficiency to have a place in an efficient world.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like Wu-Tang first album.
Yeah. So you are not spoiled, and so you are just making the best of your resources. That's why I support Fruity Loops users. I was speaking to Kyra the other day, and he was telling me he still uses Fruity Loops and uses the new version of it. I even downloaded the new version. I'm like, it's got really good sounds, you know, and everything. So
what do you use now?
I use Logic. Okay. I use Logic Pro X. I also have Logic Pro 9, which is my favorite, which is where I think the past 10 years-ish was more on that machine. Logic Pro 9. I think it's Pro 8 or 9. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But because I downloaded a lot of stuff in Waves, a lot of custom kits into that one machine, so it's hard to take it to these new machines for Logic Pro X. I can't use it on Logic Pro X because there's just so much that has been done on this one machine, you know.
That's your sound.
Yeah, it's my sound, my lab. You know, that's how I look at it. I call it the lab, you know.
Okay, yeah.
But I know I could always apply the same attitude to any other machine. You know, even if I give myself time, let's say I want to go back to using Fruity Loops, I'll still give myself that time to be a student again and you know, step by step, you know, not to rush the final product and all of that, you know. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm just, you know, interchanging consciousnesses and, you know, trying to make music here and there and also revisit, you know, that kid again, you know. So it's just, for me, it's healing time right now. That's what I'm doing, yeah.
And how does Nsimbi ties into all of that with deep narratives and Suri?
Bedroom producers of the past and bedroom producers of today coming together. You see what I mean?
Yeah, dope.
You know what I mean? That's exactly what's happening there. And they remind me of so much of myself.
Yeah.
You know, like those guys, you know. And I love their energy so much. You know, they are so keen, you know, on getting themselves out there. You know, they are so keen on making something unique and that speaks to themselves. And they're not really in a rush. Yeah. You know, of producing what everyone else is producing. Because, you know, a lot of the guys like them and their age today will be like, yo, why aren't you making my piano? There's more money there or whatever.
Yeah.